You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Thursday afternoon, February 13th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Captain America, Brave New World is generating buzz among moviegoers while also energizing the superhero comics and collectibles industry. We'll talk about that in our next segment. But first, starting a family investment club is a great way to build wealth together, teach valuable financial lessons, and ensure that everyone, including the kids, is involved. Joining us with some key advice, Matt Mategan, CEO of Blue World Asset Managers based in Chicago. Find him online at blueworldam.com. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And a family investment club is an opportunity for togetherness. So you might say that the rate of return on this particular investment is impossible to quantify as a family togetherness exercise.
I agree. The return is infinite. And over my career, I was a business consultant, and my wife's an attorney who concentrated in, among other things, estate and succession planning for business owners. One of the mistakes that we saw made over and over was the generation that built the wealth failed to teach the subsequent generations how the wealth was built, how to maintain it, how to grow it. So our family investment club was all about making sure that the next generations knew how to preserve and perpetuate the wealth. And the results so far, and we've helped other people start this process and watching it grow a little bit. And I really like the way you characterize that it's really incalculable, the ability to perpetuate the wealth as opposed to squander it.
And it's also an interesting and a very subtle way of teaching your kids about careers that are a little more remunerative than others, because there was something I saw on social media recently just talking about how, you know, some people encourage to follow their dreams and then they get to a certain age and realize that dream's a dead end. And maybe if you went back 20 years or so, and as part of the investment club, you talked about areas of growth, not only in business, but in life, you could have potentially avoided that pitfall and in a way where it didn't sound like you're being told no.
That is a really, really great benefit that we've seen in this process that we didn't really count on, didn't really plan for. But because we invest in literally the spectrum, stocks, bonds, options, futures, cryptos, as well as real estate and private equity, our kids and nieces, nephews have all been exposed to a very wide variety of industries, and it has actually guided some of the decision making when it came to, hey, what do I want to study in college? What do I want to be when I grow up? And that was one we didn't see coming, but worked out wonderfully.
And very quickly, Matt, it seemed, you know, before you talk about, you get into just the nuts and bolts of how investing works, it seems that the one thing that really can help you in investing and in all other areas of life is just education. Do the research, know what's going on, and then that'll take you a long way.
That's true. And our meetings, and this was very well timed, I'm glad you asked me on today, because tonight is actually our monthly meeting, and we go through a pretty standard protocol where we start out by going over and analyzing the month's economic reporting at the national level. Then we start going into the financials of the companies that we're actually considering. And that repetition and that broad-based view of everything is all about that. And that is the number one goal here at the end of time, is that it's about the education.
Matt Mategan, CEO, Blue World Asset Managers in Chicago. Find him online at blueworldam.com.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Captain America, Brave New World officially debuts tomorrow, but some early fan screenings are taking place today, including here in Chicago. The movie stirring a lot of buzz, redefining the superhero legacy and sparking fresh trends in the comics and collectibles markets. Joining us to discuss is Stephen Fischler, CEO of Comic Connect. .com and Metropolis Comics, one of the largest dealers and auction houses for vintage comic books based in New York. Stephen, thank you for joining us today.
And quite welcome.
The comic book movie really is the centerpiece of the motion picture industry right now. Every time a new movie based on a comic book property comes out, it's a big day on the studio calendar, it's a big day on the movie theater calendar, and I would imagine it's a big day on your calendar just because it boosts interest in that particular property.
Absolutely. This has been the case for a long, long time. Actually, even in the 1970s, people said, when the technology exists to bring these characters to the silver screen, it's going to be significant. And obviously, what you have is the studios looking at an incredible breadth of material in terms of characters, story arcs. And it's a natural progression that they've latched onto these characters, Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, Hulk, and now we have Captain America. Every time there is a movie about Spider-Man, in terms of the collectability, the values, takes a big jump. Same thing is true with Captain America. A Captain America 1 from 1941, which is the first appearance, originally 10 cents, probably sells for about $200,000 in fine condition and about $2 million in near mint condition. So obviously people have come to really appreciate the significance of a lot of these characters.
And as this market evolves, I mean, obviously, when a movie comes out, people seek out those rare comic books from whatever intellectual property is in the multiplex at that particular time. But do you also find that maybe when someone's cleaning out their house and they find, you know, that box of grandpa's comic book collection from way back when, that more people are entering the marketplace too with collectibles that they think that could be valuable?
Well, absolutely. The original owners of these vintage comic book collections, people who bought them in the 1940s, they're kind of not really around anymore. So the rarity of finding an original collection of 1940s comic books is quite significant. They don't really come up that often, which creates a very limited supply and an ever-increasing flood of people who see vintage comic books and the related characters as an investment vehicle, just like they would on coins and they would on vintage cars. Comic books really get a significant boost anytime there's a movie. And people do, you know, speculate on these books, and the speculation has done them very well. I mean, they've increased quite a lot.
outside of just, you know, first editions or the debut of a character, are there other portions of the comic book market that are especially valuable? I mean, maybe a storyline that started and was then discontinued and it's just kind of taken on a life of its own that people are searching that out? Or is that maybe too obscure in the comic collectible market?
Oh, just take Captain America, for example. Perhaps people can't afford the 1941 or 42 issues of Captain America, but they want to jump into the character, let's say in the late 1960s. Jim Steranko did several issues of Captain America 110, 111, 113. They're in the $300 to $500 range, unbelievably important books. And people sort of flood to find high-grade copies of those. So there's a lot of story arcs of 1970s caps, 1980s caps. There's a lot of price points for people to jump in. It doesn't have to be first appearances. First appearances are incredibly expensive. So there's a lot of other options for people to have.
Well, I'm very happy to know, Stephen, that My Great White Whale, which is the Avengers appear on Late Night with David Letterman, can be found online for $18, the original version. So I guess one day when that becomes like the big movie crossover, it'll be more expensive.
Exactly.
Stephen Fischler.
Well, I hope so.
Stephen Fischler, CEO of ComicConnect.com and Metropolis Comics in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, the New York Stock Exchange relocates the 143-year-old Chicago Stock Exchange to Texas.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The New York Stock Exchange is relocating its Chicago division to Dallas, Texas to take advantage of the state's favorable legal and business environment. Joining us with the latest is Nathan Bomey, business reporter for Axios in Washington. Nathan, thank you for joining us today. And even though the Chicago Stock Exchange has a legacy that dates back well into the 19th century, it had several buildings in Chicago. The architectural legacy is significant. Today, in 2025, it's just simply a matter of unplugging one computer server and plugging another one in.
Yeah, that's right. And this is pretty symbolic in some ways, but also pretty substantive, because what it shows us is that the New York Stock Exchange believes the balance of power is shifting in some respects. And Texas has become a place that a lot of companies have been flocking to. And so I think they feel like they have to keep up with the Joneses.
Now, when it comes to the physical location of a stock exchange, I mean, I think our mental picture is trading pits, people in jackets screaming and yelling for hours on end during the day. But a lot of trading is electronic today. And once trading becomes electronic, you're no longer really tied to a physical location anymore.
Yeah, that's right. You don't need a physical location. In fact, if you go visit the New York Stock Exchange on Wall Street these days, you'll see that there really aren't that many people anymore. And the vast, vast majority of trading is digital. Like you said, there are a few traders there in New York who are still doing it in person. But the truth is that this is primarily digital. And so a lot of the move to Texas would be something of a symbolic thing, but also it would be an indicator that they believe that maybe they'll get more friendly treatment from a business perspective in the Lone Star State.
Now, this has been there's nothing really new about this particular strategy. I mean, the southern states, which were right to work states, poached a lot of factories from the north in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. And now Texas is making a play to be the financial center of the country. What kind of brought on this very aggressive posture by officials in Texas?
Well, I think what we've seen in the last couple of years is a few major companies have begun increasingly frustrated with having their operations located elsewhere and exposing them to what they view as unfriendly treatment. So, for example, you saw what happened with Elon Musk and Tesla, where the Delaware courts actually gave him a hard time about his compensation package. And he said, you know what, I'm just picking up and moving my shop to Texas. And now we've heard a report that Meta, which of course is the Facebook owner, is also thinking about moving to Texas. And this is the really part of a trend. We've seen other companies moving their physical headquarters there, like Chevron, Caterpillar, and Toyota. So, you know, I think that there's a view that the conservative pro-business legislation and lawmakers in Texas is a good place for them to be, really not as much regulatory restrictions there.
Nathan Bohme, business reporter for Axios in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, smartwatches for kids boost safety, fitness, and seamless connectivity for families. We'll talk about it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Yesterday's snow in the Chicago area is gone, but it's going to be cold for a while. And yes, more snow is coming. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been confirmed by the Senate as the next Secretary of Health and Human Services. It's Technology Thursday. We'll talk to an expert about wearable tech for kids. Plus, we'll examine what's happening with mortgage rates as things start to get busy in the housing market. Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 142 points. The NASDAQ is up 143. The S&P 500 is up 29. We have 17 degrees right now in Chicago, going up to 19. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour. The snow that fell yesterday has moved out of the Chicago area, but the cold temperatures have settled in. Andy from Skokie said yesterday's snow was like what we've seen in a lot of, over the last couple of years, but not as much as expected.
I shoveled last night, so it was a little bit less than, if you didn't get to it. And then I kind of walked over it, went to my car, and here I am.
However, the cold temperatures will stick around for a while. More snow is on the way. We'll have much more on our forecast coming up at 12:38. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., President Trump's nominee for Secretary of Health and Human Services, secured enough votes from the Senate today to be confirmed to that post as the nation's top health official. All Democrats voted against, as did Republican Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Kennedy, a prominent vaccine skeptic, will be in charge of vaccine recommendations as well as food safety and roughly $1.7 trillion in federal spending for high-profile agencies, including the Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. The markets are higher today. Joining us with What's Moving Wall Street is Gary Kaltbaum, President Kaltbaum Capital Management in Orlando. Find him online, GaryK.com. Gary, thank you for joining us today. And And unlike yesterday, where there was a little bit of a sell-off off of the consumer price index, it seems like investors have decided to drive right over the producer price index number from this morning.
Yeah, and the producer price index was not that friendly, but what is friendly is the 10-year yield, which dropped a whole, which rallied a whole point yesterday, has dropped a whole point today, and I'm pretty sure markets like that. Lower yields good, lower oil prices good, the opposite not so good.
And you always like to say that the bond market really tells the story about what's happening here. So let's explain the run-up that we saw earlier in the week and try to make sense of this sell-off that or the drop in the 10-year yield that we saw today.
Well, the important thing is trend. You know, you're going to get rallies in yields to the upside, and then they're going to drop. But the trend over the last, I'd say, about 8-10 weeks is just a lot of back and forth. And, of course, we had the Fed, and then we had the Fed speaking this week, which kind of sort of moves things. The big key is pretty simple, and I say this loudly and clearly. If the 10-year yield jumps above 5, I think we got big trouble, because it'll indicate two things, that A, the Fed has missed the mark again, and B, the market, the free market, not somebody's opinion, but the opinions of traders, speculators, and investors, the smart money, believe that possibly inflation is really picking up and sticking, or the potential of, look, you know about how much debt we have and how much interest is on that debt going forward. So for me, as long as interest rates stay mid-4s, that'll be fine by me. I think the markets can take that higher than 5. I'm going to tend to be pretty worried.
And then when it comes to the just the health of the economy, it seems like once again, the focus is back on the labor market and the strength of the consumer, that if they can continue to spend through higher interest rates and elevated prices, the economy is still going to be on good footing.
Yeah, watch the job market. It's in shape. It's not spectacular right now, but it's in shape. But there are certain things I am watching. The housing stocks are acting terribly. Economically sensitive stocks like building, construction, and materials are not acting very well, and sometimes that could presage things. But overall, you know, all the calls for recession over the last 3 or 4 years never came to fruition. I think we've had this decent plane, as the American worker is doing a fine job. And if we ever get rid of the headwinds of massive debt and deficits, I think we can really get going. But that's gonna take some time.
And it also seems like investors are looking past a lot of the rhetoric when it comes to the threats of tariffs or the promises of tariffs. Either they have a really good kind of tuning mechanism to sort out the signal from the noise when it comes to some of the economic rhetoric from the White House, or they just say, you know, we'll believe it when we see it.
Yeah, well, this is not a political statement. This is just fact. When it comes to Trump and talking tariffs, wait for the next day. Yesterday, he said he's going to put on all these retaliatory tariffs today, and he's not. He's now saying we'll look at it at April 1st. So the market reacted one way yesterday, reacts a different way today. And look, I'm not a tariff guy. I don't want to get into a tariff war, so I hope we never get there. But right now, I think the president knows that tariffs aren't going to be too friendly to the market. I think he's trying to, you know, iron it out and use it as a negotiating tactic, and hopefully it works.
Gary Kaltbaum, President, Kaltbaum Capital Management in Orlando. Find him online at GaryK.com. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, help in choosing the right wearable for kids.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Hey, it's Technology Thursday. Wearable tech for kids, especially smartwatches, provide safety tracking, emergency communication, and fitness tools, giving parents a balanced approach to oversight and independence. Joining us to discuss is Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder and editor-in-chief of Techish.com in San Francisco. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to cop to something, to keeping up with the Joneses. And that is when my oldest daughter, she's 11 now, when her friends got Apple Watches for their birthday or for Christmas, we did the same. And I can't tell you how transformative that has been in terms of keeping up with her. It's very easy to message her at activities. And it really has been a great tool both for parent and child.
That is so good to hear, because that's not how a lot of parents start with technology and their kids. And I hear more horror stories than good stories these days. So I'm really glad to hear that. And I just have to ask, is it the Apple Watch SE? And do you use Apple's parental or parent approved settings, parental control type settings with it?
Oh, yeah, we have parental control settings, and we also have established some rules for the road on chatting. Wow. And when you can text somebody and when you can call somebody. And you can there's a school mode, there's a bedtime mode. So we have a lot of guardrails in place. So it basically it just gives us all the good stuff and allows us to sidestep most of the bad.
Yeah, see, that's why I like you so much. You just said all of the right things, and that's what our conversation
I always
today,
said, Jennifer, you were my favorite guest on this show.
You're my favorite host. and you're saying and doing the right things. And parents, please pay attention. Listen to the genius on the other end of this call right now, because you can't just set it and forget it. And these days in America, the average age that parents are handing off $1,000 smartphones to their kids is 11 to 12 years old. That's insane. You cannot do it. Their little budding brains are not designed to handle constant stimulation. It changes their brain chemistry, the addictive and harmful social media sites on girls especially. I mean, that's stuff you can't take back. You cannot, throw that out there and then rein that back in. And I hear it every single day from parents. So starting off with a watch, if you're an Apple family, you all have iPhones, an Apple Watch SE is a great way to go. If you're not, then, and maybe, your kids are a little bit younger, you can start kids off as young as 5, 7 with something like, I really like the Bark Watch. That's about $130 a month. It's about an additional $15 a month for the subscription to it, all of the controls. And that's really great for monitoring and kind of a gradual introduction to technology with GPS tracking, contact management, parental alerts, but no, none of those addictive apps, games, or internet access.
I would say of all of whatever smart device, whatever wearable you get for your kids, I mean, we talk about maybe the dangers of social media or the dangers of chatting with strangers online. But it seems like the big one that a lot of parents need to address, and it isn't really acknowledged in the wider discussion, is group chats, because that was something we had to nip in the bud immediately, because they were all 10 years old at the time, and it would be 7 or 8 kids from the classroom. And it wasn't even harmful. It was just incessant people saying hi to each other for hours on end. It was a distraction. And eventually someone would say, stop it. And that's what we said. You've got to block all of these kids. You cannot be a part of this chat. So I think that's the one thing that could be very harmful to kids, is like this, the nonstop texting of each other that nobody really talks about.
Yeah, and there's so many layers to that, because that is the way that sports teams are interacting with each other and schools are interacting and communicating with families. And that is really harmful. You have to teach kids, you don't have to respond to a text right away. I went through that with my own daughter, like, oh, mom, you got a text. Aren't you going to respond? Heck no, I'm not. I'm not going to respond until I darn well feel like responding. And there's so many layers to this. It's added so many more issues to modern parenting. But the best thing to do is exactly what you're doing. You talk about it. You set the rules and the boundaries, just like you set rules about when they're driving and how they learn to drive. You have to think of all of this technology in the exact same way as getting behind the wheels of a car. You have to learn, you have to grow, and you have to ease your way into it.
Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder, editor-in-chief of Techish.com in San Francisco. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday, and still to come, a look at mortgage rates as we enter the busiest time of the year for housing.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Mortgage rates have been in a bumpy ride over the past few months. Joining us to discuss conditions as the housing market enters its busiest period of the year is Brian Wickert, president and owner of Acumen at Mortgage in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Brian, thank you for joining us today. And the rate on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage had been trending down, but with the yield on the 10-year Treasury note popping yesterday, mortgage rates did the same.
Yeah, correct. The latest report from Freddie Mac, which comes out every Thursday, said 6.875 was the average rate nationwide, but that's a one-week backward-looking number. And so the more accurate number is a daily rate published by Mortgage News Daily, and that came in at 7.04 at the end of the day yesterday. Right now, today, Acunet Mortgage would be quoting 6.875 on a 30-year to buy the median priced $350,000 single-family home in Chicago metro area. That's with 20% down and an APR of 6.98. So it's not that volatile, but it just did go the wrong direction yesterday a little bit.
So if you left the your home search last fall with mortgage rates at 7%, it's more the same as you re-enter in the springtime.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, I just looked a little bit before we got on the air here. Rates right now today are almost exactly where they were a year ago. But the difference is that in the Chicago nine-county metro area, home prices are up 8%. And so if you just factor in that $25,000 increase in home prices, that does add $134 a month to the monthly payment if you're putting 20% down.
Now, if you are in the housing market and you're already pre-approved, you're ready to make an offer, and you're really kind of skittish about the interest rate, you think maybe if you wait a little while longer, it'll go down. What is your advice to that particular home buyer?
Don't wait, because here's the best case scenario. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and I should say also the Mortgage Bankers Association, they only see the interest rate 30-year for the 30-year fix coming down to 6.5% by the end of the year. And by the way, they've been wrong for the last year. You know, they keep saying rates are going to come down and they kind of stay stuck. That payment difference, Rob, is only $70 a month on a $280,000 loan. So it's not like rates are going to come down to 6. That is not what anybody is predicting. So my advice is buy now, because you know what? The price is probably going to go up 5 or 6% again this year, according to the Association of Realtors.
Brian Wickert, president and owner of Acunet Mortgage in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today to talk about mortgage rates if you're re-entering the housing market in the spring. And if you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.